From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, the United States and Iran present conflicting accounts of a preliminary agreement that could potentially extend their ceasefire and reopen the Strait of Hormuz. The chairman of Shinsegae Group plans to deliver a public apology for a Starbucks Korea marketing campaign that caused offense by evoking painful memories of the 1980 Gwangju massacre as he and others face legal action in the case. And with 9 more days to go before the local elections, a KBS poll reveals a neck-and-neck race among mayoral candidates in the city of Ulsan. This is KBS World Radio News. This is Eileen Cahill. The United States is reportedly saying it has reached a preliminary agreement with Iran that would require Iran to give up its stockpile of highly enriched uranium. But Iranian media reports dispute this claim, with U.S. President Donald Trump urging his negotiators not to rush and warning he will not accept a bad agreement. Yoon So-hyang has more.
The United States and Iran have reportedly reached an agreement in principle, both on reopening the Strait of Hormuz and disposing of Iran's highly enriched uranium, according to the New York Times and CNN on Sunday. The Washington Post, citing a senior U.S. administration official, said the two countries have developed a memorandum of understanding framework that would extend the existing ceasefire by 60 days while negotiations toward a permanent settlement continue. Under the purported framework, the U.S. side claims Iran would reopen the Strait of Hormuz immediately upon signing and take steps to restore shipping traffic to pre-war levels within 30 days. It says Iran would also reaffirm its commitment to never develop nuclear weapons, with its enriched uranium stockpile to be disposed of through a method agreed upon by both sides. But the memorandum still requires approval from both the U.S. president and the Iranian supreme leader.
If it succeeds, leave us not just with a completely open straits.
U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio signaled that reopening the strait could come first, with the question of how to handle Iran's enriched uranium left for later rounds of talks.
Obviously, that will require full Iranian acceptance and then compliance, and it will require some future work on negotiating the details.
On the other hand, Iran's state-run Fars news agency said nuclear commitments are not part of the current deal and that such matters will only be taken up during the 60-day negotiating period after a memorandum of understanding is signed. On the Strait of Hormuz, Iran also drew a clear line. While shipping volumes would return to pre-war levels, the timing, methods, and routes of transit would remain under Iranian control. Free and open navigation, as it existed before the war, would not simply be restored. Trump, meanwhile, took to social media to urge patience, saying he'd told his negotiating team not to rush and that time was on the U.S. side. Yoon So-hyang, KBS World Radio News.
Jung Yong-jin, chairman of Shinsegae Group, which licenses and operates Starbucks Korea, will apologize in person in response to the public outcry against a recent marketing campaign that evoked painful memories of a brutal military crackdown on pro-democracy protesters in 1980. Shinsegae Group said Jung will hold a news conference Tuesday morning at the Joseon Palace, a hotel in Yoksamdong, southern Seoul, to offer his apology and announce the results of an internal review of the coffee chain's promotional event. Jung had issued a statement on Tuesday last week apologizing for what he called an inappropriate marketing campaign that should never have happened and acknowledging the pain it caused to the victims of the massacre, as well as to their families and the public. The controversy arose after Starbucks Korea used phrases such as Tank Day to promote its Tank Tumblr series last Monday, the anniversary of the May 18th Gwangju Democratization Movement. Critics said Tank Day evoked memories of the military vehicles deployed by former President Chun Doo-hwan to suppress pro-democracy protesters in Gwangju in 1980. Meanwhile, police are questioning additional complainants in a case against Jung and others in connection with the marketing campaign. According to the Public Crime Investigation Unit at the Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency, investigators questioned 5 petitioners, including Park Ha-song, a person recognized for his distinguished service during the May 18th Gwangju Democratic Uprising in 1980, at the Gwangju Nambu police station in South Jeolla province. On Wednesday of last week, the five had filed a complaint against Zhang as well as former Starbucks Korea CEO Son Jong-hyun and others, accusing them of defamation and violating the May 18th Special Act. With just 9 more days to go before the local elections, a KBS poll reveals a neck-and-neck race among mayoral candidates in the southeastern port city of Ulsan. The poll asked respondents which of the top 4 candidates they'd pick if they were to vote the next day, and found that support for the Democratic Party candidate Kim Sang-uk stood at 37% of the total, putting him slightly ahead of his closest rival Kim Duk-young of the main opposition People Power Party, who finished at 32%. The Liberal Progressive Party candidate Kim Jong-hoon came in at 15%, while support for independent candidate Park Meng-woo stood at 3%. Ulsan voters were also asked who they'd pick if the Liberal parties fielded a single candidate, and found that Kim Sang-uk would take 45% support, while the PPP's Kim Duk-young was in second place with 32% and Park Meng-woo third with 4%. The survey of 800 adults residing in Ulsan was conducted by Hanguk Research from Thursday to Saturday and had a 95% confidence level, with a margin of error of plus or minus 3.5 percentage points. President Lee Jae-myung vowed Sunday to do his utmost to build a government that protects the lives of the people as the nation marked the 2,570th anniversary of Buddha's birthday. Speaking at a celebration at Joge Temple in central Seoul, Lee said his government would take the Buddha's teachings as its guiding light and work to care more closely for every citizen, especially those in the most vulnerable parts of society. Lee said Buddhist teachings have long shared both the joys and hardships of the Korean people, helping heal pain and embraced marginalized neighbors whenever the nation faced crises and sorrow. He added that the Buddha's emphasis on understanding and harmony rather than exclusion and conflict has served as a strong foundation for building a more united society. Financial authorities have urged investors to exercise caution ahead of the launch of single-stock leveraged exchange-traded funds tied to chip-making giants Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix. The Financial Supervisory Service issued a statement Monday emphasizing that since these products track only one stock, investors are directly exposed to the specific risks of those companies. South Korea is set to launch its first single-stock leveraged ETFs this week, offering products linked to Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix that aim to deliver twice the daily performance of the underlying shares, meaning daily price fluctuations could reach up to 60%. The regulator warned that the leveraged structure may compound losses in the event of a negative event, and stressed that these products should only be considered for short-term investment. Cloudy skies will give way to heavy rain in the southernmost part of Jeju Island and coastal areas south of the Korean Peninsula late Monday. Downpours will spread nationwide Tuesday, with up to 300 millimeters of precipitation expected in Jeju and up to 200 millimeters in the southern coastal areas of South Gyeongsang Province through Wednesday. Seoul and the surrounding areas will likely see rainfall ranging between 30 and 100 millimeters, and up to 80 millimeters in Daegu, Gangwon, and Chungcheong provinces. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Eileen Cahill.
KBS World Radio.